Hey, Mac, when does deer season start?
Well, if you want the best deer herd possible, Lanny, you need to start right now.
Right now.
That's why we're starting our promotion. I mean, we've got a Deer Season Starts Now promotion on plantbiologic.com where you can pick up our Game Changer soybeans, our forage soybeans, and our spring protein peas. While you're there, you might as well go ahead and pick up some brassicas like our final forage and winter bowls.
Yeah, stock up for the cool season planting right now. Listeners to the GK Podcast, if you use coupon code GKPOD, you can save an additional 10% off our entire selection of warm season, cool season, and clover food plot seed. Get started today and visit plantbiologic.com for an unforgettable fall.
I am Jeff Foxworthy, and welcome to Gamekeeper Podcast. If you want to learn more about farming for wildlife and habitat management, then buddy, you are in the right place. Join the Gamekeeper crew direct from Mossy Oak Land Enhancement Studio as they discuss the latest wildlife and habitat management practices, news, and of course, hunting. There's no telling what you'll learn, but I'm going to tell you, I bet it's interesting. Enjoy.
We're live in 3, 2, 1.
You know, Rich has got an unusual, consistent way of doing that.
Radio voice.
Yeah.
He really does. Makes up for his looks.
Yeah,
really
not does. Rich. No.
Really does.
Well, look, so we're back at the Mastery Series.
Yeah.
And we've got a guy who really is a master.
No doubt about it.
At a lot of levels of turkey, mm-hmm. calling and hunting. He's a legend. We've got Ernie Calandrelli.
Our old
Big Ern.
Look at him up there.
Glad to be here, guys. I'm glad to be here. I don't know if I'd call me a legend, but I have a great time wherever I go and whatever I do.
Well, so. I have to tell you, ever since I tuned into the turkey hunting world, which is the early 90s, you've been part of it.
So, yeah.
And been a huge supporter of the brand and turkey hunting as a whole. And so that's pretty legendary to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
really honorable when people do speak highly of me like that. And I just shake my head and go, my God, it's all I did was something I love.
Yeah. Hey,
just being yourself. It works.
He's always got a smile.
That's
right. And he's always got a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to prove that point, I bet we could say, Ernie, tell us a great what's the latest great turkey hunting story you got? And I bet he can go right into one.
I'll bet I can. well, as you know, we just come off and this is probably my second most unbelievable turkey story. But we just come off the Rio Roundup hunt in El Dorado, Texas, which is, you know, the Mossy Oak Rio Roundup turkey camp. And it's phenomenal. We do it at the Le Grand Ranch. And once all of our guys kill, you know, our buyers, our licensees, you know, the Mossy Oak brand, you know, then we get to hunt. And so it's in between hunts now. We ran two hunts and all of our people killed, and that was good. We had a bunch of them there. And so now we're going to hunt. Well, me and Rocky get along real good. You know, Rocky's one of your guys, Rocky Trammell. He's one of your guys, and we get along good. So we always have fun when we hunt together. We say, Rocky, let's go hunt this morning. All right, it's our turn to kill a couple turkeys. So we go. But the last time we were together, on the last day of the hunt last year, I had killed mine, you know, because they let us kill one each. And so Rocky needed to kill one. Anyway, he killed one that morning. We were together. So now it's my turn. He says, no, I killed the last one. We were together. You're going to shoot. That's all right. I said, if one comes in. Yeah, so we're sitting there. And we had heard a couple turkeys on the roost. Nothing crazy. They only gobbled a couple times. And we'd been there a little while. A couple of hens. Because four jakes come in. We ran them off three times because they ain't nothing but a nightmare. When you got a lot of jakes, you got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah,
not next year. They're nothing but gold. But this year, they're a problem when there's too many of them. So anyway, we're sitting there, and I got a 410 over and under with me, and he's got his 20 gauge with him, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you guys how well you guys have talked to Rocky much or whatever, but he really doesn't get excited about much. And he's sitting next to me, and all of a sudden I see his eyes get as big as saucers. And to begin with, I had putting the two shells in my over and under. The bottom one wouldn't go in. It would go in, but I couldn't close the gun. And I had a heck of a time. The brass was swelled up or whatever. So trying to do it with a knife and everything, I ended up prying it out. And so I know I got a single shot, which, you know, that's, it didn't bother me. It's no problem anyway. And all of a sudden, you know, me and Rocky are sitting next to each other, and his eyes get as big as saucer he's 30. He said, "There's a gobbler standing." He says, "He ain't 10 yards to the right of you, full strut right in our face." I says, "What?" He says, "Yeah, right off your right shoulder." So I says, "Can I look?" He says, "No, you can't look." After a minute or so, I says, "I gotta look."
Yeah, that always gets me too.
Him. So I turn my head. Now he's at about 15 feet. He's right there, and he's coming around the front of us now, and he's like 5 feet in front. You know, it's like, we cut some cedars, and we're sitting behind the cedars, and he comes up, and there was a deer trail right in front of us that I didn't even know was there in the dark, and he's right on it. And I got a tree sticking to the left, and it's not a real big tree, maybe 6 inch or so, and I says, "You know what? They're reals. You know, I love them. They're confidence builders, you know, everything, but you know, they're not Easterns." And I said, "I can get away with this." So he's going in front of me, and I start easing my gun up. Well, he catches me. You know how when they're running, you know, they're juking that head, and he starts running. I airball him. I miss him, right? So he runs out. Now we're laughing, this and that, and carrying on and everything. This turkey, I make this turkey gobble in the same direction this one went. And Rock says, "That's the same turkey." I said, "No way." I said, "Yeah, it's the same turkey." I said, "I got to get this gun fixed." So now I have the gun in three pieces on my lap, right? And I got it all apart. And I that's the same turkey. He ain't coming back. And he says, "Hit him real hard with the call." So, I mean, I pounded this thing. And he's gobbling every breath. And he's strutting. And pretty soon he starts coming. Rocky had ranged him. He was 140 yards, and he's running dead to us. And I said, "Rocky, my gun's all apart in my lap." I said, "You got to shoot him." He said, "I'm not shooting him." I says, "Rocky," I says, "as soon as this turkey gets in a range, shoot him." "No," he says, "I'm not shooting him." I said, "Well, give me your gun. I'll shoot him with your gun." He said, "No, I'm not giving you my gun." He says, "No, you're not shooting him with my gun." Then he tells me, he says, "All my bullets are in the truck."
Oh, no.
So we're sitting there, and I got my gun's in three pieces, and he's coming. He gives me the stake, and I had the gun all apart, and I flung it down the lower barrel and knocked that shell out of there, put one in the upper barrel, put the gun back together. Rocky says, "You got to put the forearm on us. I don't need no forearm on this thing." And he comes right in. He's like 15 yards now, and I did end up killing a turkey, but I know I had to miss something somewhere, but it was like unbelievable, that story that happened. I ended up killing a turkey. He didn't have no bullets. My gun's apart, but we still got him.
Did I miss something, or was it the same turkey?
It was the same turkey.
Yeah, Rocky, I'm telling you right now, that was the same turkey.
It's interesting.
I guarantee it was the same turkey.
Yeah, oftentimes the ones you think you're going to kill, you don't, and the ones you don't end up coming up in your lap.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so what? Ernie Toxie just joined us. He's running a little late this morning,
is that do I know you from somewhere?
That's him.
But I think we've met a couple of times.
Only about 40 years ago.
Man, that's hilarious. 1986,
wasn't it? I think 1986.
That's right.
Wow,
that's correct.
Yeah, OG days.
Way long time ago. He was in the first battalion.
Yeah.
It stormed the beaches.
Our beards were darker then.
Yep.
We need to get you some Grecian formula to put on that beard.
Be careful, Bobby. He keeps his shaved.
Yeah.
His will be white.
Oh, my goodness. Ernie,
anyway,
always...
it was a great deal, a great hunt as usual. Everybody had a good time. I mean, it was super. You know, good people there all the time. We have a lot of fun, but we get a lot of work done.
It's a great place and a great camp. There's no doubt
about
it.
Very, very productive for all. And been going on a long time. I bet you that particular camp, well, it was probably 30 years ago, maybe 25, and with a year or two lapse in it, has been going on the same area. I can even remember taking my Uncle Bud and Daddy out there before. Which was pretty epic.
I'm sure you remember. Toxie, I'm sure you remember at the old camp.
Oh, the skunk house. Yep.
Yeah, I was at, the old camp, and I was rooming with Daryl Worley.
That's right.
And,
yep.
And that's the man who got me onto the CPAC machine.
Yep. About that. It's a life changer.
Because he got up in the morning. He said, Ernie,
he diagnosed you right there. He
promised me, when you get home, you got to go to one of them sleep doctors. God. I mean, it had to be, I don't know how many years ago that was.
Oh, I remember you were sleeping in that little small house, and there would be people out in the yard to get away from it. It was legendary.
You look like a poster boy for a CPAP machine.
I don't snore at all anymore, and that's right. The CPAP. I sleep like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Those machines will make you live a lot longer.
It sure will. Yep.
So do you look like a fighter pilot at night when you climb into bed?
Oh, yeah. I look like a fighter pilot when I wake up in the morning, buddy.
Okay, let's get back
that's
to
only, that. That's only in my face, though. The rest of me, no.
See these people? When the clock strikes 5, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. They have to do these things. They have to do those things. Enter the all-new LS Tractor MT2 and MT2E, a relentless force of innovation. Redesigned with a new hood and cab built for comfort and visibility, with enhanced lifting capacity to get the job done. Making these people the ones everyone else calls those people. Visit your local LS Tractor dealer today.
Moultrie has pioneered the game management category. Today, Moultrie is one of the best-selling brands of feeders and seeders in the world, and they continue to innovate with new technology that gamekeepers will rely on. Moultrie products are always field-tested and designed for hunters by hunters, combining forward-thinking innovation with time-tested practicality. Moultrie, first in feeders since 1979. All right, so guys, Moultrie is offering our listeners a 15% site-wide discount at MoultrieFeeders.com. Use code MossyOak with a capital M, MossyOak, at MoultrieFeeders.com and get that 15% discount.
So I have to say this. So for years now,
tell the story
at the camp there, our guests kill a turkey, and I don't think a lot of them even know it. And the next thing you know, in a day or so, he's out there in his spare time. He makes them their own wing bone out of the turkey they killed and signs it for them and everything.
Yeah,
just as a gift. That's not only something very special, but crazy talent.
Mm-hmm.
I've got. Actually, you made me two of them. I've got both of them.
Don't cry, Ernie. Just tell us the story.
I'm the one crying, not him.
I'm not crying. The thing about wing bones is, and I know many people that make them that are just absolute incredible artists. The artwork they put on the call and the wrapping, and that I'm not artistic at all. I can stick them together. I think I made my first one around 78 or 79 or something like that.
Wow.
And here's a quick story about that. Actually, it was me and Butsky were out of my camp, and I killed a turkey. I said, I'm going to make a wing bone. You know, I had seen articles on it, like in Outdoor Life or whatever. I said, I'm going to try making one of these. So I made one, and it worked. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't use them a lot, but I do yelp on them once in a while. And I threw it on the dresser in my bedroom. And so I go in there, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later. And, you know, out in the country, you know, it's warming up in the day. And, you know, you're in a camp. The flies are coming out of the walls and this and that and whatever. So Paul was standing in the kitchen or in the dining room, actually. It was a 10x10 dining room. And I said, my wing bone. I grabbed it, you know, and you don't blow wing bones, Bobby. You suck them. So you got to suck in on them.
Kiss them.
And sucked in on this wing bone, and I sucked a dead fly down my throat.
That was just for Bobby. Look at the look on his face. I think he's going to get sick.
Yeah. Paul tells that story all the time, too.
Yeah, Bobby can identify that with that story, because a lot of times when we go eat lunch and you suck on your straw, he would have rolled up a ball of the paper from the straw and put it down in your straw. So when you suck on your drink, you get that piece of paper in your mouth.
Ah, oh, he's one of them guys.
Practical joker.
He is definitely one of those guys to the 10th degree.
My history on it, I'm not really that educated on it. But I remember years back in Edgefield, South Carolina, at the Turkey Federation headquarters, you know, going through the museum in there. And, you know, and I've been there probably half a dozen times. And you look and you see the wing bones laying there. And I mean, I could be wrong in this, but I remember seeing signs on them that said, like, they were 400, 500, 600 years old that they found and identified to be that old. I mean, you know, from the Indians and Native Americans, that's absolutely incredible.
It is. I never knew that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I know, I'm positive at least one of them tags said 400 years old. So anyway, my deal was whenever people ask me about a wing bone, I say, like, the Indians, how did they figure this out? How did they know that if you did this and put this together, that it was going to sound like a turkey? And the only thing I could figure was they were sitting around a campfire at night, and they probably made pipes out of them then, I would guess. Now, whatever they had in that pipe, I have no idea. But the guy was probably sitting around the fire and, you know, and taking a drag or a draw on the pipe, and it probably flipped over like a yelp, and he probably said, hey, that sounds like a turkey. You know what I mean? That's wow. How else could you figure out, how could they figure that these bones are going to sound like something that they could kill and eat, call in, kill and eat?
Well, that makes too much sense. I mean, they couldn't sit around and flip through their phone all night. So you end up doing things with stuff that's already in nature, you know, that could have been a reed or something like that, or a joint of cane.
That's right. I was thinking, you know, about a little tube of cane.
I mean,
probably.
How many of us like to put could've a piece been. Of straw yep. in our mouth and walk around? And
but they, you know,
somebody probably just figured it out.
The big buzzword today is trumpets. You know, building them not out of wing bone, but about trumpets. Mm-hmm. Well, the actual wing bone, as it expands on the very end of the call, looks like a trumpet because mm-hmm. it's got that expanded almost like for the sound to come out of there perfectly. And it honestly is more shaped like a trumpet than some of the trumpets they're making today.
You hear some of them guys that are blowing or sucking on them trumpets, them yelping that they're doing on it, it's just incredible.
It is.
I mean, it'll stand the hair up on your arms. It's so real. Like Mark Prudhomme and them.
Oh, he's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Them guys, unbelievable they are.
So, Ernie, some of the wing bones we see are two-piece and some are three-piece. What's the difference there?
It's pretty much all personal preference. Like every wing bone, the beauty about a wing bone is every one that I make, everyone sounds different. You know, of course, people strive. They want hen wing bones. You know, hen wing bones are a lot tougher to come by. But they want hen wing bones because they're higher pitched or whatever. 95-98% of the ones I build are gobbler wing bones. And but, I mean, higher pitch to me, I shorten them. If I make them shorter, they seem to be higher pitched. That the big end, you know, the joint part where you get that ball or the bellows on the end or whatever you would call it, like a cane yelper, that to me, you know, that makes definitely a difference because you're getting that resonance in there. And a lot of times when you use the wing bone, they will work easier if you actually try to back pressure them a little bit, you know, like any other mouth blown reed call, you know, not diaphragm mouth blown, but, you know, like a mylar reeded call. If you bet like a duck call or what have you, if you back pressure it sometime, you know, you get to change the sound, it'll sound a lot better. And there are some wing bones that where you'll get that high and low note a lot easier with the right amount of back pressure on it.
When you say back pressure, you're talking about cupping your hands around the end of it?
Yes, cup your hands around the end so it's not all loose coming out the end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was one of our questions. We wanted to ask about it, whether it was hen bones or gobbler bones, if they had a different tone. You answered that question.
They don't only have, but every bone you make is different depending on how long you make the mouthpiece, the middle piece, the end piece. Depending on how long or short it is, you'll get different sound and yelps out of every one of them. It's not only an air talk. I mean, you can use it for a striker on a mm-hmm. on a slate or a glass. That's or right. I don't know how this one will work, but we'll give her a shot.
Hey, there you go.
book. You forget your strikers and you got a wing bone, or like we all do, leave that striker laying next to the tree, you got a striker. You know, so there's a couple of different uses for them. I wish I was more versed on the history of them, and I wish I was more artistic with the way I make them. But these are, anybody that gets a wing bone off me, I tell them, look, I'm not an artist. I'm not, I like to do it. I have, it kills some time for me, but I do it. Actually, I put most of them together in my buddy's taxidermy shop at home. Wow. And, you know, he's got somebody to talk to while he's mounting deer heads, and I'm making wing bones, and we get along good. And like I say, the only thing I wish that I was more artistic. Because, you know, like Eric Rice, Arnie Jonathan, and I've traded these guys' wing bones, and I'm going, they want my wing bone? My wing bone don't look anything like their wing bone. I mean, their wing bones are just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and but, well, that's beside the point.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I have to correct you, because you are. Maybe you don't paint like they do with a paint and oil, whatever paint, but the artistic that matters is the way you build. How many have you built now? Just ballpark. I know you hadn't counted.
Good Lord.
Just had to guess. How many?
A few thousand.
My point is, there's the artistry that matters. Exactly. That's the artistry right there.
I having the words Ernie Calandrelli on it.
That was all I cared about. I wasn't even thinking about, you know, the ornate painting. I have seen some of those. In fact, I get given a lot of calls, bless everybody, and there's some beautiful artwork on them, but I, quite honestly, having your name on it, you know, and we go back so far, that means more to me than any of that.
Yeah. Lenny, I had to tell you, hunting with you, you've got your phone in your pocket, you're constantly checking Onyx.
Yep, very valuable key features all in those things, it really is. From the compass mode to recent imagery, I mean, it really helps you understand where you are spatially, where you're headed, where a turkey is, where he was. It's a heck of a tool to use in the spring woods.
I didn't realize that they're updating these maps every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd have never known about that clear cut that you were hunting if I didn't have that recent imagery.
Well, you know, and you could share some waypoints with me.
I could share some points with you. You're exactly right.
I mean, it has that capability.
It does have that sharing capability, which is great. You know, you're wanting to show me where your goblin turkeys are.
Oh, man. You know, Onyx, it's a great app.
It's a great app.
So guys can go to onyxmaps.com/hunt and use code Mossy Oak to get 20% off.
There you go.
I'm a big fan of Onyx.
I am too.
So Ernie, teach us how to run one of these things.
Well, and I, you know, along with my artistry, I'm not phenomenal at these, but I'm usually good enough. And what, you know, you suck on it, and you'll see turkey hunters, whether you're in a store or in a bar or in McDonald's, wherever you go. And if that guy's a turkey hunter, I'll guarantee you he's got that straw out and he's sucking on the end of that straw because it's yelping like a hen.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. You just put the end right on the edge of your lips. A lot of guys run them on a side. Now, my other problem is I've had Bell's palsy 3 times, so I don't get quite the seal that I used to have in my lips. But you do that and you just, that's what you do to get that high and low pitch to get it to, you know, to yelp. And I used to halfway gobble on it and everything when I used to be working it all, like when I was doing a lot of seminars and that, you know, because I'd go through all the calls and a wing bone too. So I was using it all the time. And now every time I get done making one, I yelp on it a couple times to make sure it's clear and it works. But turkeys, I've been with people. Jim Cassada, I know you all know him.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he uses, a wing bone. I've hunted with him so many times, and we'll go out. If a turkey doesn't gobble at me or whatever, he's always got one in the shirt pocket. He pull it out there, and, you know, he'll do some kind of noise on it. And with Cassada, he had the most ungodly owl hoot I ever heard. And it was one morning I couldn't get a turkey to gobble. It was before light. And he hooted. Heck, I almost hit the ground. I thought we were getting attacked by something. 5 turkeys gobbling. He looked at me and smiled. That was like his claim to fame that day for sure. He says, I said, that was the most ungodly noise I ever heard come out of anybody's mouth. I told him. He said, yeah, but they liked it, didn't they?
It was a true shot gobble.
That's what I, yeah, the real
true shot gobble.
That's right. We always used to say the shot gobble. I'd be shocked if he gobbled.
Yeah.
So you're using the corner of your mouth, not the center of your mouth.
This is a hen bone here. Yeah, I use the edge because I can get a little better seal out. Some guy, I could probably do it in the middle. But I like the corner. Like I say, I don't get the feel I used to get because I don't know if you know about Bell's palsy, but it gets the motor nerve and it's going to wreck something. And I've had it 3 times. So wow. I don't have all the motor control or over my mouth or my neck or my eye. That's why my eye hangs. And that's all from that. It actually hurt my mouth turkey calling. I can't call like I used to. I can still call good enough. I'm happy with it. But, yeah, that's one of the deals with Bell's palsy. It wrecks your...
Yeah, it's like half of your face has a stroke, you know?
Yep.
If you have a stroke, to go to bed at night, you got to tape your eyes shut. You got to... And I went to a neurosurgeon. They had to check me for a brain tumor. This is the last time I had it. And she's looking at the wrong side. So what are you looking at? I said, it ain't on that side. It's not this side.
Oh, my goodness.
So she says, you have to. Toes she says, I got to get an MRI of your brain. Make sure you don't have a brain tumor. I felt great. So I go in there and I come back. And she says, no, she said, I've been with people that talk to patients that have had it twice, but you're the only person I know that ever had it 3 times, she said. But you don't have to worry about a tumor up in your brain. And I says, oh, I said, well, that's good. She said, no, it's got nothing to attach to. So
that actually sounds like something Bobby would have said.
Yeah, well, that's good, Ernie. That's good.
Well, like I say here, they're all different.
I will say that it's definitely and it's growing faster than anything in the call world. In fact, some of the call makers are talking about how do I offer people Trump. But it is the hardest. It is the highest degree of difficulty, in my opinion. A mouth call is up there more than people give it credit for, too, and get really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I think, is – and I think that's another reason why it's kind of a badge of honor, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
when you go with someone and they've got that little lanyard, and they don't put it in their vest. They stick it in their shirt pocket. That's kind of the thing if you've hunted with people that use one much. Yeah. And so it's kind of a – you know, it's kind of a – I hate to say this, a little bit of a status symbol because it is the hardest to master. And quite honestly, I think because it's different, could be because of the higher pitch, they do respond to it in some cases. So Adam Butler, our state biologist, you know, y'all had him on, cuz had him on,
mm-hmm.
and they've done a lot of really cool research. So when they're researching hunters, they'll ask a lot of questions. He will include a lot of questions about hunting. It's fascinating stuff. Of all the different calls, the people that would carry a wing bone had the highest degree of success killing or harvesting a turkey. That was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that because I mean, I've seen it where you go through everything, then whether it be you or somebody else, they start yelping on a wing bone and a turkey gobble. And for some reason, they like it.
So, years ago, I mean, just a day or two in the woods with this guy, and I mean, you might learn more than anybody. You went with Harold Knight. And so years ago, he had told me, and I've always tried and seemed nothing's 100% with turkeys, but he would pull out a wing bone or something really high pitched, almost to where, you know, it sounded, even though we're hunting Easterns, it sounded like, a Rio or higher pitch. And he said, well, you know, the last hens that will still be in heat are the young hens that are real young. Hmm. All the mature hens that are experienced, they get bred first, they nest first. So late in the season, a high-pitched call where turning old gobbler just inside out thinking it's a young girl, you know, and she still will breed. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it might indicate why the higher pitch of a wing bone does seem to rile them up so much. I don't know.
That's like my last resort every fit is my boat paddle. And like I told that story about Rocky said, because, you know, he's going, yeah, one gobbled out there. And this happened. This is the second season now, and I'm pretty upset about it. Yeah, one just gobbled at you out there. I didn't hear it. Mm. With the hen yelping out there, I can't hear it. Mm. That just frosts me. I mean, you're hearing it, you're hearing a turkey, and I'm not hearing it. Buddy, that's not good.
No.
Turkey. That ain't good.
Need to get you some Tetris.
Honestly, if I could.
Yeah, well, I'm working on it.
Yeah, you do need to get some Tetris. If I had to choose between going out and hearing them all, I got to trade that off for killing them. I would trade it off to continue to be able to hear them and stuff. I would trade off not being able to kill one in a minute.
The other thing is, like I was going to say, my boat paddled, my box call. I mean, that's what Rocky, and he's not the only guy that told me that. He said, "You wonder why you're going deaf? Did you ever listen to that thing?" He said.
Yeah,
buddy, that baby will pierce you, and I know it's doing the same thing to a turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Ernie, you're thinking, and from what I'm listening here and kind of gathering, is that it might even be that turkey, like public land turkeys, that have heard a lot of yelp, and this might be something different, something they hadn't heard, something that sounds even more authentic,
something off the wall, and something, you know, it's just different, and it's just like fishing, the same thing. Change your bait, catch a fish. So you know what I mean, you change something up. When I'm sitting calling, and I go through every call I got. People say, wait, cut carry all them calls. I'm going to use every turkey ain't gobbling. I'm going through every call I got till I can get one to gobble. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if that don't work, I'll hit them. I'll start at the last one I use and work through them the other way. So, and a lot of times I think the wing bone is something that they don't hear a lot of or any of. And, you know, hopefully you can strike one on it.
So are these things real fragile? Do you have to take care of them?
They're very fragile. And, you know, what I do is and you can see I did a Mossy Oak video making one.
Yep, but, sure did. It's on our YouTube.
You take care of them. You clean them out, then at the end, after you blow the marrow out of them and everything, then I set them in peroxide. You know, I boil them, then I peroxide them. You know, because you want to make sure they're all nice and white and all that meat's gone or whatever, all the marrow's out of them. They clean up they're beautiful, white, real white. And then, you know, you got to grind them. And I used to do it by hand. Thank God they come up with a Dremel tool. And now I usually Dremel tool them. I'll use a belt sander. And you got to get them to get the pieces together. I super glue them. Then I use that epoxy, that mix up epoxy with your fingers. And, you know, I work that around them, sand them off. And then I wrap them. And mine, I wrap with bowstring. I mean, everybody uses thread and whatever, and that's fine. But, you know, my way to do it is, you know, and I know you've got one there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I got all that. Well, I work shows and I can talk the bowstring manufacturers out of bowstring. So.
Well, that's one of the strongest materials on the planet.
Yeah,
so
and you can pull on it and, you know, and it just seems to hold them together good. And then I nail polish the wraps. But once I get whatever I'm going to write on them, written on them, then I dip them in polyurethane, and normally three times. I'll dip them, let them dry, and I'll do it three times. And then I have a wire in case they plug up from the polyurethane where I got to work the wire in them to knock all that stuff out of there.
Wow. A labor of love.
Yeah, I would think he's probably made more wing bones than
Just about anybody.
Yeah. I mean,
for sure.
I mean, the guys that are making the trumpets aren't making them out of actual wing bones.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
That's a different craft.
That's true.
I mean, they're similar, very similar in use and sound and
sure,
whatnot,
but they're
totally different craft. Yeah. I mean,
that's
just
amazing,
like,
you've made a thousand of them.
Dudley was so enamored with it. It's just, there's something about it, you know, going to that and looking at that and doing, Dudley loved to, you know, try to make a bow that you make your own bow that you kill a deer with, or maybe the arrow, or use the fletchings from a turkey. Just, you know, doing stuff like that just connects you back to the source of all this stuff. So making something out of the turkey you killed, you know, just like we're learning more and more, don't waste anything off of the turkey. We used to not even, you know, I hate to even say it. Most people don't even do anything with the legs. They just breast them out and move on. Man,
well, your son-in-law did the other night, and it was unbelievable.
Yep, he can do it.
He did leg enchiladas. They were fantastic.
Yeah, I've had those.
They're turkey leg enchiladas, and he can. Oh, he is Chef Boyardee, as my daddy, Papa calls him.
I saw somebody pretty prominent post a video about how the legs aren't worth a darn.
That's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, goodness.
Tell them, Ernie.
They've never had Vandy's enchiladas or my turkey gold broth.
Yeah, and you know what?
The stock it makes is incredible.
It's unbelievable. The turkey leg gumbo, I mean, you can just put it right up with it's any delicious gumbo you've ever had.
No doubt about it.
Incredible.
I walked up to them pans the other night, and I said, Vandy, you made lasagna? Beautiful. No, I didn't make lasagna. He said, that's Mexican lasagna.
Yep.
I don't, I'm a Yankee. I don't know all that stuff.
we're very aware you're a Yankee. I've been really trying to pay attention to be able to understand what you say today.
Bobby.
You couldn't yesterday, could you?
No, you speak that fast Yankee talk. I can't keep up with it. So is there a question that we need to be asking you about Wing Bones that we're not smart enough to ask?
There's probably a lot of those.
But, like I said, there's no set rule to making one. You make them as long as you want, as short as you want. You only want two bones on them, put two bones on
them. I've made them out of ballpoint pens.
What about Peter Wentworth? He uses bark on the end. His are gorgeous, and they're great sounding calls. I got one of them, and he uses bark on the end of his bone calls.
The Furminator is the industry's most versatile piece of food plot equipment, allowing plotters to do every step of the process, working the soil, adding seed and soil supplements, and compacting. From start to finish, with a single implement, it's hassle-free by design. Set it for the seed size and simply drive the tractor, and the Furminator does the rest. Check it out at thefurminator.com.
Hey guys, Dudley from Gamekeepers here. I want to tell you about the all-new Gunner Dog Bowl. It's designed for home and built for travel. It's customizable, leak-resistant, light on weight, solid on durability, and rust-proof. Like other Gunner products, they're made in Nashville and designed for everywhere.
Nosler is known for their bullets, and now they're making suppressors. Nosler suppressors are made for hunting. Adding a Nosler suppressor to your rifle will make you a quieter, more accurate, and more effective hunter. Protect your hearing and disturb less game with a Nosler suppressor. The time to hunt quiet is now. Learn more at Nosler.com.
Ernie is the all-time Swiss Army knife of turkey hunting, is I think what we learned.
There's no doubt about that. Dudley, yeah. What'd you
learn? I've just learned that I'm going to start saving my wings, but, I got to kill one first. But,
that
inspires me. I've made them out of cane before, and I gave one to Mr. Fox.
How about that?
And I want to make another one and start using it again.
I'd like to make one out of cane. I never have done that.
Well, we'll send you some cane. We've got a lot of river cane.
We got a
pile
of cane.
We don't have any cane.
Send them some from Daniel's backyard.
Yeah, you can build a house like this big.
It's like got a higher DBH than our pine trees. Yeah. It's crazy.
All right, Bobby, you told me yesterday you're going to ask me about my hunting in Mississippi a couple weeks ago down there.
Yeah. Well, so Ernie, last year I think you were here a couple weeks, weren't you? How did you?
No, 3 days.
Three days.
That's all. Well,
in those 3 days, you trashed County.
He trashed my, the year before I did because I never heard of turkey.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, we got some evil ones down here, that's for sure.
Hey, but I did this year.
Hey.
Oh, look at that.
Golly.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a Mississippi bird.
That's the second biggest burr I ever killed.
That's a Mississippi bird.
That's incredible.
It's like it keeps going.
Hang down there.
Yeah.
Got a hang.
That was just the way it came. His other leg gets broke off right there.
That one almost did.
That little hanging down part there, that's still on there.
Is that an inch and three quarters, 5/8?
No. It's over an inch and a half, but I haven't really measured it.
Don't.
I just laid a ruler on there. I know it's over an inch.
Yeah, don't even do it. It's like weighing a big old bass. Why in the world do it when you just add a few pounds?
It was a good one. It was good.
Those are sure enough needles.
Those are.
Yeah. Well, congrats on needles. That. I am glad Mississippi could be good to you.
Finally.
Yeah, I'm speechless looking at that spark.
You probably need to stay out of Mississippi from here on out. You've done that. We would appreciate that if you would. I tell you what I learned. I'm going to check my wing bone before I suck on it, make sure somebody hadn't stuck a fly up in it.
Yeah, make sure there's no flies.
I think it just gave us an idea of what to do with your straw from now on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Getting back at you.
We'll get him back.
You know, Lanny was sucking on his straw today at lunch.
And I do not have a straw in my mouth without making a turkey sound with it. Mm-hmm. But there you don't. Go. I don't use a wing bone, but I'm going to start.
Yep.
Ernie gave me one, so.
Ernie, you're just a class act.
The best.
You make me smile every time I look at you.
Hey, and don't even start talking about smallmouth fishing with him, because that's when turkey season's over. Yeah. He rolls right into being the best smallmouth guide on the planet, too.
I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time, and I just hope it stays good. Yeah. I'm having trouble now, though. I need two knees. I mean, every turkey I killed in Texas, you could just about see the truck.
Hey, man, nothing wrong with that.
I resemble that, too.
All right. Well, keep after it. Guys that are listening, you should follow Ernie on.
No doubt.
I know he's on Facebook, because I follow you on Facebook. Ernie Calandrelli. And he'll be in the show notes how to spell his last name, because it is pretty complicated.
It's on, you know, like you said, we did a complete video of him, how to make your own wing bone. It's on Mossy Oak Go.
Yeah, Mossy Oak University. Yeah. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be on YouTube, too.
Yep.
Or if you'd like to purchase one, you could just let me know on Facebook.
There you go.
Yeah. So right.
I didn't realize you even sold them.
Even
honestly.
Better.
Save up for that hearing protection.
So I think
I need
our
some
guys
more fuel
should,
money.
There
for
you
that
go.
Big diesel truck
when
running.
Our guys kill a turkey, they could clean the bones and send the bones to Ernie.
They could.
And then Ernie could.
Is that how you do it, Ernie? Or
I've done that for people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. I have done that for that they wanted their bones. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Custom bone.
Yeah. So send Ernie a wing and he'll make you.
Actually,
call.
I promised Will. I promised Bob Dixon's kid one, and he was supposed to send me the bones, but I haven't got them yet. So if you see Will, you know, I tell him I'm still waiting for them wing bones.
He's probably going to listen to this and go, oh, I forgot.
Yeah. I bet he's got one, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I guarantee you he's grabbed a couple by the feet by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Ernie, we appreciate you being on here. We will have guys in the show notes. They can find you on Facebook. They can send you a direct message, send you some bones. You can make them a call. Ernie, you're a great guy. We absolutely thank so much of you.
Yeah. The best. Thanks for what you do, Ryan.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. And I think the world all of you guys. Love y'all. And let's just hope we can keep hunting for
there you
many
go.
More.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yep. That's that. We agree. So, Ernie Calandrelli, he's formerly a Quaker. He retired from Quaker Boy Game Call. Still works for
them. But
they
hired me back about 3 months ago.
You're always in their booth at the end of the
Well, there was one part of the business they needed a little help with, and they knew that I was the man for the job. I don't go in there.
No question.
But I take care of it.
Good job.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, your name is synonymous since way, 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 way back.
Yeah.
Quaker Boy. It's only right that you'd be there again.
So. Yeah, that's right.
It's synonymous with fun.
Yes.
He is a fun guy. Okay.
I'm just not going to take it any further. Yep.
No.
All right.
I agree with you.
Ernie, thank you. This has been a quick one. We wanted to do one on the wing bone. And the natural wing bone,
not the trumpet. So this is all natural.
Not the chicken bone. Yeah, like right. you're going to eat tonight.
The
you
wang
eat a bunch
bone.
Of chicken wings. But
make one
That'd
from
be
your
real high pitched.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Why don't you say goodbye, Dudley?
Goodbye, Dudley.
Get us out of here, Richie.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Gamekeeper Podcast. And be sure to tune in again. Subscribe to Gamekeeper Farming for Wildlife Magazine. And don't miss the Mossy Oak Properties Fistful of Dirt Podcast with my good buddy, Ronnie Cuz Strickland.